Finish off tonight, discussing some of the issues we mentioned, this tshuva from the Minchas Tzvi, about the question of the hischaivus that a umman has towards the property that he's working with. And the question is, if he's given something to work on, so the Gemara, the Mishnah says that he's a Shomer Sacher, and there was a Machlokas HaRishon, and what the scope of that is. Does that apply both to a woman who's doing a task and a pole who's working by the hour? And does it apply only if he takes it home, or even if he's working in the Balabas's house? And those topics were debated by the Poskim, the Shach, and the Sma, and others. And then the question was dealt with in the Sefer of the Minchas Tzvi, the question of what happens if the, let's say, if a babysitter, the situation he has, and the person left his house, assuming the babysitter is going to watch the stuff in the house, and the stuff got stolen because she was negligent, she just didn't close the door. So what's the situation there? So do we assume that she's a Shomer Sacher on not just the item she's working on, in this case the kids, but are also on the whole house? Or should we say that maybe she's not a Shomer Sacher on that, but she's at least a Shomer Chinam on that? And how did she become a Shomer Chinam on that if that's not really what she's working on? So presumably it has to do with the fact that she's already some type of a Shomer, she's already in the Parsha, and by him leaving the house and knowing she's the only one home, that perhaps that's the assumption. So let's just take a quick look at his conclusions on this issue. Just to try to go through the highlights, this is the Poskim have argued about this question of an umman who works in the boss's house. Is he treated like a Shomer Sacher on the property of the Balabas, or maybe he's not a Shomer at all? So therefore, because of that machlokes, so the muchzak, in this case the muchzak will be the worker, if she's asking her to pay for it, she could say kimli, she could say it's not my, I don't follow the view that it says I'm chayev. So the poskim also argue, consider a umman schir yom, in other words, a poel who works in his own house, if he's considered to be a Shomer Sacher on the Kli of the Balabayas, or if he's maybe a Shomer Chinam on that, so once again, the Mochzuk in that case can say, Kimli, can say, I don't have to pay anything. And Oman Kablin, Sho'oved Bebeso Bekli, Sho'o Balabayas, working in his own house with the Balabas's property, so he's considered to be like a Shomer Sacher on the Kli. And there's no difference if he got paid already before the Malacha starts, or if he accepted it, that only once he gets the property back to the owner, then he's going to get paid. So that's also a discussion in the postgame, whether it makes a difference if he's paid up front or not. So here apparently it doesn't make a difference. And if the Balabayas is in the house, this is what leads into this question, and there's also the worker who's in the house working on something, so that worker is not at all considered to be a shomer on the other things that are in the house. So that becomes a significant detail. But if the boss is in the house, so why should that change things? If the guy's a shomer, he's a shomer, so he's not a shomer unless the boss leaves him, and that's the intent, that the boss recognizes that the boss assumes he's leaving the house in the hands of this worker. So you have a balabai shahalach mibeso, if the balabas left his house, or his source of operations, or his workplace, and the worker is the only person who's there, who's working on a specific thing, or let's say a babysitter, or a maid in the house who's cleaning up the house, who get paid for specific jobs, that's what they're hired for, so they're considered to be shomrei chinam on the property that's found in the house of the boss. And therefore, even if, because they were negligent in their watching, so they'll have to pay the nezek that was caused to the balabayas, but they'll still get paid for the work that they do, because that was the deal. So it's two separate parts of the equation. Should they have to pay for the damage, and should they get paid for the work that they done? So in this case, they're a shomer chinam if they're given a specific task, like watching the kids and the like. So they did their job, but at the same time, the other property that they're not paid to watch gets damaged. So if they're a posheya, so they have to pay for that damage because they're a posheya shomer chinam, but it doesn't affect the fact that they also did their job, so they get paid for doing the job. If the balabais is in the office that is set aside for his purposes only, and if the worker is in his office and the balabais is not in the same office, then even though the boss is in the same building, but it's in a different office, the poel is considered to be a shomer chinam on the other things in his office. And that's also true if the balabais doesn't reach the place where the workers are going. He doesn't get to that place where the workers work, except for very spare moments here, few and far between. And therefore, all of the watching of the property of Baal HaBas is all under the responsibility of the worker. So the Poalim are still considered to be Shomrei Chinam on the property of Baal HaBas. And if the Poal or the aid maid breaks something, let's say she breaks the Baal HaBas's kelim inadvertently, so midin Torah chayav l'shalem is a nezek. As far as din Torah is concerned, she has to pay. But the minig in many places is that they are mochel the worker on the nezek if it's a small hefsid. So therefore, you have to figure out what in every situation, what the circumstance is. That's what you find. Also, you find that in Hilchos Purim and Hilchos Sukkos. They talk about that in the context of a mitzvah celebration. So even though you're technically chayiv, you break somebody else's stuff, but there's a minig to be mekel on small things and to be mochel on small things because you want to have an atmosphere where people can celebrate effectively. So too, you have a worker in your house. It's not going to really be a very good work environment if every little thing that she breaks, you're going to start suing her for. So there's a minig that if it's a small, absorbable expense, so you are going to you're going to be mochel on that. Okay, so there's actually even more to this issue. Mention one of the other questions before getting to the second issue. There's also a question. Let's say you assume, to skip to this point, let's say if you have the worker fix something and then it got stolen. Right, so he fixed your bicycle, let's say, and then the bicycle got stolen. So then it's machlokas haposkim whether or not the worker has to pay the value of the kli or the materials based on what he accepted, or should he pay the Baal HaBas what it's worth when it was stolen? So he could get himself into more trouble by having made it more valuable. Maybe he has to pay for that if it's a situation which he's chayav to pay. But once again, so since it's a machlokas, he could say kimli. Now, what if the Baal HaBas paid the worker to watch his items for a certain amount of days? And they decided that they're going to pay, he's going to pay for the whole thing at once. Let's say he hires him to work to watch his stuff for 10 days. And he says, at the end of the 10 days, I'll pay you $100 for watching the things for 10 days, $10 a day. And during one of those days, let's say 5 days in, the worker was negligent, the stuff got stolen from him. So now the Baal HaBas ends up with nothing, right? Because he doesn't get his thing back at the end of the time. So he ends up with nothing. So since the Baal HaBas doesn't get any benefit from this guy's work, so then in that case, the Poel doesn't get paid at all, even for the days that he had acted responsibly, because the whole schar was all set at one point that he's going to get paid at the end. But if the Baal HaBas does get some type of benefit somehow from the work of the Poel, so then the Poel does get paid based on whatever benefit he gets. So let's say, for example, if they arranged that there's going to be a schar of $10 for the whole process, and the Baal HaBas is, or the Poel rather, is poshe on one of the days, and something gets stolen, so then the Shomer Socher will get paid for the days that he did work under such a circumstance. All right, that's also just an important detail to be aware of. All right, so there's a lot more details here, but in the interest of time, we'll skip them. I just want to mention this other Shiloh, which is also a little bit different and is also nogeya to some important practical points about such workers. So he has a case as follows. It says, Ruvain nasa l'taken es ha-mixer shalo l'shimen. Ruvain gives Shimon his mixer to fix. It's a modern type of Shiloh. Mishnah doesn't talk about mixers specifically. Shahinu bal chonas l'tikun kelim chashmonoim. That Shimon is a person who fixes electrical appliances. He has such a store. That's what he does. He fixes electrical appliances. V'hodiyo Shimon li'achar shara satakala shahaisim ma'achshir. And Shimon told him after he saw just how bad shape the machshir is in, the machine is in, Shiyavu l'kabelus akli mitukan ba'ud shavua. Come back in a week, then it'll be fixed then. Ulam Ruvain lo higia kavor shvu lakachto. So Ruvain doesn't show up within this week to come pick it up. V'kfar avru chodshayim me'ad shnos and Ruvain is a kli b'tikun. It's now 2 months since he's given it. V'adayin lo Ruvain lo bo lakachto, and Ruvain has not come to pick it up in that time. Ulam Shimon zakuk l'makom shenimsa bo hamikser. Shimon needs the space where he's storing the mixer. So therefore, here's his question. Ha'im hu yachal ha'otzi es ha'kli l'rishas ha'rabim? M'cheven shulom mucham ha'achzik yosur es ha'kli ha'zeh b'chanduso. In other words, can he basically abandon his responsibility? Can he put it up rishas ha'rabim since he's not in a position to hold it in the store any longer? Ha'im mutlo limkor es ha'kli l'acherim? Can he sell it to someone else? Oh, shu ba'atmo yiknoso. Maybe he'll buy it himself. Because she yava Reuven lekachto, and Reuven comes to pick it up. Yitein lo Shimon es hamechir shayeshav hakli bizman shekano. And then when Shimon comes to pick it up, he'll get the money. Reuven comes to pick it up. So the Shimon, if he wants to save the space, he could sell this mixer to any guy who walks into the store, or he could buy it for himself, and then he'll give the check. The check's easier to store. He'll give the check to Reuven when he comes to pick it up. After he subtracts whatever his own bill is. So if he had to pay whatever amount for this item, then he still gets the schar that he spent working on it. So he should be able to subtract that. Could he also be toveya from Reuven, that Reuven should come and take the kli? Should he also be able to charge Reuven and say, listen, I'm charging you rent now. You kept this item in my store for an extra 2 months. I want to charge you rent. Should he be allowed to be toveya from Reuven a higher price? Which is essentially a similar form of the previous question. They more than what they originally had set. Since now the replacement parts that he put in the mixer have gone up in price, and the hours of work now cost more. So can you say, you kept me here 2 extra months with this, so now I'm charging you based on the current rate? So what's your instinct on those, Shilas? So what do you think? Based on what we've seen in the Mishnah so far, right? The Mishnah tells us that he's a Shomer Sachar. But if he has said, and in the next Amud we saw, that if he said, Tola Shulcha V'Havemos, that come take your thing and now pay for it, so then he's a Shomer Chinam. Which Rashi explains over there, that if he says, Shekvar Gemartiv, Moshetotzianu, Havemos, Sheinem Akful, Atovso Al Scharo, Harehu Me'ata Shomer Chinam, then when he says, I'm finished and you can take it, so then he's a Shomer Chinam on that part. So how should you think this situation basically plays out? What would you think the story is? Should he be allowed to do any of those things? Should he be allowed to sell it? Should he be allowed to charge him more? Should he be allowed to give it up? So why can't, because you see, if he's a Shomer Chinam, so he can't be Poshaya. If he can put it outside.
He's going to have to pay for anything that happens to it.
So if he puts it outside, it sounds like it's a Pshia. If he converts it to money, that's basically also normally not within his permission. So we'll just skip the interest of time. This Tshuva is long, we'll just tell you what his maskanas are. So says as follows. It says, if the worker says to the employer, bring the money and take your thing, or if it's basically understood, there's a clear umdana that until the worker gets paid, he's not going to give back the object. So until that time, dino kishomer sachar ala kli ad sheichu abayla misakli, that he's going to be considered a shomer sachar until the guy takes it. If the worker said to the owner, come and take your thing to your house, and the worker agrees that this person will bring him the money later after he picks up the item, or he says to the boss that he finished the work, And it's not really clear to us that until he gets paid, he's not going to give it back. And it's not clear that that's the condition, that he only gives the item back once he gets paid. So then he's considered to be a Shomer Chinam until the Baalim take the Kli. If the Oman says, hi.
What was the second scenario? The first one was...
The difference between the first scenario and the second scenario is whether it's understood that he doesn't get his item back until he pays for it. So if the if the deal is that the owner doesn't get the item back until he pays for it, so then up until that time happens, until he comes and trades for it, the worker is a Shomer Sacher. If the deal is he could take his item back even though he's not paying for it yet, whether that's said explicitly or it's just simply not clear that that's not the case, there isn't a clear umdana that he wouldn't be able to take it back without paying for it. So then, and once the worker says, I'm done, and the guy could take it back and not even pay for it yet, so then he's a Shomer Chinam.
So in the first case, he can only take it back in two cases.
Right, that's the key difference between the two cases. So Amar Oman, Labalabai Shikach is the Kli Vino Shomer Od. If the Oman says, take back the thing, I'm not watching it anymore. And it's clear that he's not going to hold on to it all that time. So then he's exempt from Shmira. But in all of these cases, it's also clear that he's not able to just throw it into the Rishus HaRabim without any type of watching. Bisman Hazah, nowadays, there is a clear umdana that workers do not return the item until they get paid. That's basically the system that we have nowadays. Unless there happens to be some local place where they have a different kind of practice. But the overwhelming meaning of the world seems to be that the workers don't return the item until they get paid. So therefore, kol ha'omdim nowadays are considered to be shomrei sachar l'chefetz shekiblu l'takin kol zman shenimsa l'chefetz b'rishusam. So therefore, they're considered to be shomer sacher on the object that they agree to fix, as long as it's in their property. Even in pashu abaylim v'lobo l'kachtos man rav, even if the baylim are posheya and they didn't come for a long time to pick it up, because it fits into that first category that since they're not going to get it back till they pay, they're considered to be a shomer sacher. So as a shomer sacher, so even though there is a pshia on the other guy's side that he's not coming to pick it up, still, until he does so, the other guy's a Shomer Sacher, and that'll be the deal. So, that being the case, since he's a Shomer Sacher, so Rishai Umen Ligvo Schar over Achsanas HaKli Shal Balabais, he can also charge a fee for storing it. He can charge a storage fee. After the time has passed, since it would have been expected he would have picked it up. He's not going to charge extra storage for the normal time, for the first week when he said, come get it in a week. He's not going to say, when the guy shows up, he's not going to say, here's your bill for the work and here's an extra charge for storage. But the guy shows up 2 months later, so even though he's a Shomer Sacher all that time, but he also can get paid. He also has a right to charge for the storage for that. Hi.
So let's say now the storage costs exceed the value of the item.
So what happens if the owner wants to say, okay, the storage was so much, I'm going to be mafkir the item, I'd rather not take it back.
Right.
Because...
Would he continue charging past the... Would the call even, the Shomer Sacher now continue charging more than the value of the item? Or would he just stop when he reaches the value of the item?
Yeah, that's an interesting question. Because Lamaisa would seem to be that normally when you pay to store something, how would you establish what the storage fee would be? Right, you'd establish it based on the idea that you figure out what would somebody normally charge to store your computer. Right, so there, whenever you charge for that, no one's factoring in the cost of the item. Right? It's only the fact, the only reason it's relevant here is because you might think since the basic understanding is the guy has to pay to get it back, so maybe he'll say, why should I pay to get it back when I'll just go buy one from a store that'll cost less than what I got to pay this guy? So basically, it would seem to be that really a maker idea, and he should have to pay it no matter what it is. Because it's basically that he's agreeing to this service. And if that's the cost of the service, he should have to pay it, even if it ends up being more. The question is, what will the guy do? What will the seller do, the repairman do, if that's the decision the guy makes?
And is it really a pshia also to sell the item? Is that he doesn't have the right to sell
the item? Oh, so you haven't got up to that part yet. So first, all we've established so far is that it depends, what his status is depends on the normal rule about giving it back before payment. Since it tends to be the case that he only gives it back once he gets paid, therefore he's a Shomer Sacher. So the Shomer Sacher is responsible, and what does that mean? So far we've seen that he can charge for the storage. Now let's go on and see what he can do and can't do. So lo gila umen es daito shirotza schar avar achstan astekli, if he didn't reveal that he's going to want schar for this, or he only revealed it much later, so then he's not going to be able to take schar for that time that he didn't reveal himself, only from the point that he said that that's his plan. Any worker can publicize in his store in a very visible place that after a certain time, anyone who leaves stuff in his place that's fixed that he's not going to take, so he will have to pay a storage price at a certain price, and that's reasonable too. People mentioned yesterday, they're familiar with signs, you know, after 30 days the property becomes whatever. So in this case, let's say he says, puts up a sign, says after 30 days I'm going to start charging you storage, so then he has the right to do that. The worker also has the right, after the people have not come to collect the fixed object, after a time that's acceptable to come, to basically get together three capable, qualified people, and to establish a Beis Din, that the Beis Din should establish what the value is, the value of the item is, and he can then take the volume from the item. So what does that mean? So first he goes through the whole process of how they establish the value, so we'll skip that for now. But if the schar that the omen deserves is equal to the value of the object, which, as he points out here, sometimes happens when you're dealing, let's say, with an item of sentimental value. So it could very often be that the work that this person did will taka be worth more than the item is worth if it were to be sold. So under such circumstances, so the omen can take the kli. He can take that kli as payment. The guy doesn't show up. But if his value is less than the value of the kli, the value of his work is less than the value of this kli, as this committee is going to establish, so then he can take the kli itself, and he can leave with this Beis Din the difference in money that the owner should be getting. Or he could sell it to others, and he could take from the money that he receives his schar, and the rest of the money he'll have to watch until the Bailum come. He'll have to watch that as a Shomer Aveda. The Uman in this case is permitted to use for his own purposes the money that is left in his hands that the Balabas ultimately is supposed to come take. And as long as he doesn't do that, he's considered to be a Shomer Sacher. And if he does use them, he's considered to be a Shoal. It's also important to point out here that he's not allowed to establish the value of the Kli himself. He has to have an independent panel establish the value. And he's not obligated under the circumstances when that happens to take a Shvu at all on his Schar, or on any of the other details of how this happened to end up in his hands, as long as this is the basic expectation that that's what happens. The Uman is not also going to acquire the Chayfetz for himself, even after a long time, and as long as it was given to him in his Rishos, he's considered to be a Shomer Sacher. That basically the point is he's not like a Shomer Aveda, who eventually could keep the item, even if there was Yeish, because when it came to him in the first place, it came to him, that's what the Gemara calls Yisur Asul Yod, the Gemara in the second paragraph above Metziah. It doesn't mean that he did anything wrong, it means that it was not something he had title, he had ability to use during that time. The whole rule of Yeish is only that if you find something after Yeish, you're allowed to keep it. But if you find something before Yeish, so you're not allowed to keep it after Yeish. So even if you think the guy's never going to come back, he still has the din of a Shomer on it, because he's like a Shomer of Eid in that case. And an Uman who has invested a lot in the replacement parts for this Kli is allowed to collect that from the Bala Kli, who comes to take it after a long time, based on what they are worth at the time when he comes to take them. However, if the Balabas paid everything up in advance for the parts as well, So then the woman is not allowed to take the more expensive parts. As the woman is not permitted l'chadchila to take extra schar from what they agreed based on this, even though the guy made him wait a long time, and even though the price of his work went up in that time. However, it does make sense to say it might be possible that the worker who doesn't want to give the balabas the kli without that he should pay the difference, he could hold on to the kli until the balabas does give him the difference. So and he ends off and he says, the chayiv kol adam midinat degarmi asher nasan kli, any person who gave a kli, or let's say shoes or something like that, to a worker to fix them, so the person is obligated to take them back during the acceptable time once they're fixed. And if he doesn't do that, so then he's considered to be a mazik, who is causing the person a loss, and that he's obligated to pay. Medina de Garmi. Medina de Garmi, as we discussed a little bit during the semester, that normally a mazik has to be mazik something directly. You have to actively break somebody's stuff. If you cause somebody to lose based on an indirect cause, so that's a grama, and we normally say that you are pater from that. But dina de garmi, it's machlokas in the Gemara, but we assume dain dina garmi, which means that there is a type of causational situation where you are chayiv. And the different reasons why that would be, maybe it's more direct or involves more active negligence on your part. It sounds like from the Gemara and from the Rishonim that it's a knas, misadin derabanan. But there are circumstances where, even though you would normally be considered to be a causational chiv and you should be pater, that it's enough of a irresponsibility on your part that would make you pay. So in this case also, if somebody makes a situation that the seller can't use the space in his store because he has to hold on to your stuff, that you have left there longer than the time that it normally is picked up, so then he says there is a chiyuv of davar she of a dina degarmi. Ubemyuchar kishanasan kela mishumashim woman she'en lahem bikush woman yafsid es kol schara. Especially if a situation where you've given him used stuff that he can't do anything else with and he can't really sell them and he's just taking up space in his store just for your sake. So then all the more so this is true that you are kind of being mazik him and dinat degarmi, and that is something that the person is chayiv to pay. Or at the very least, even without coming on to dinat degarmi, which he kind of implies here, but even if there isn't a chiyuv to pay for it, so grama b'nezikin is usur. You're not allowed to cause somebody a loss, even in a situation where you wouldn't be chayiv to pay for it. So therefore, if that's the case, so we follow that even if you're not obligated to pay, it's still usur to do. It's still morally wrong to leave your item in somebody else's possession when it's going to cause him a loss, when it's going to cause him a situation where he has to lose out on possible opportunities. So that should be prohibited to do, even if you're not chayiv. And it's also interesting, this should also tie into what we started talking about at the beginning of June, that to whatever extent he has to exert any effort to protect your stuff, it would seem to be, at least according to some views, this would be a violation of lo savur bo b'farach, right? That basically you're forcing a guy against his will to work for you, because he doesn't have a choice. He wants to give this back to you, but you're not around to take it back. So now he's stuck with an obligation to watch it and to go through whatever inconvenience that he has to. It's interesting, actually. You know, this attack that was a study they did in Israel, of all places, so it kind of fits. That this is discussed in the Chashuva Sefer called Freakonomics, that they did a study in Haifa that they had a problem in a daycare center in Haifa that the parents were always late in picking up the kids. So what does that mean? So clearly the daycare center can't just be mafkir the kids, right? They can't just go home and leave the kids to fend for themselves. So if the parents don't show up on time, the workers have to stay there longer past the agreed upon time. So one would think that would be a violation of a couple of possible things, but also you're essentially forcing people to work for you against their will. They don't want to be working. And if the assumption is they're going to be working for free, because there's no way to collect from you based on this, So then that would seem to be a violation of, at least according to some of the Rishonim, of Los Tav Mefarach. You're forcing them to work in a way that's inconvenient for them, and they don't want to do it. They didn't agree to do it, but they have no choice because they can't just let your kids be left there alone. So what's interesting, just as discussed in that book, that they tried to stop that by imposing a penalty. They put a fine that if the parents come late, they have to pay a fine for however much time they come late, they have to pay a penalty. So what happened once they started doing that? You know what result that had?
Everyone came on time.
No result.
Okay, everyone came on time, no result. People came late, even worse. Why is that? So there's three scenarios, Benji got it right. So why do you think that's true? David, you have a theory? Exactly. Right, that before this was the case, they at least had the guilt factor. Right? They at least had the possibility that the parents would feel bad that they're making this happen and that they're imposing on the parents. But once they put the fine there, so now they feel like they're paying for it, they feel justified, so it made the situation worse. So it's an interesting example of how trying to use these economics to manipulate the situation could backfire.
The teachers are getting paid for it.
Right, but they're getting paid, but they don't want to. Right? They'd rather go home and not get paid than... You also have to figure out if they could charge as much and it's actually worth their time, even if they want. You know, with overtime is normally more, right? If you're a police officer and you work overtime, they're supposed to pay you more. So it's hard to imagine they could charge at a rate that's going to justify the overtime. So presumably it's less than normal time. So
they can charge that rate for overtime.
So let's say they did that. Though. But let's say they did that. Still, you're basically forcing them to work against their will because presumably if we're up to them, they'd rather just close when they want to close and go home. Just like every store decides at some point they're going to close and they're not going to make the trade-off of working longer for extra money. So too, to deprive them of that choice really would be wrong. The question is it wrong?
The solution is to provide a discount if you come early.
Ah, so that could work.
Anyway, so.
Right, but if they wanted a discount, so then why'd they bother sending the kids to the daycare in the first place? They could have got a 100% discount by not sending them there to begin with. So these are the questions. You see how it's not so simple when dealing with human incentive, what exactly works and what doesn't work. But those are some of the considerations, and it ties into some of these things. Okay, so basically, maybe we'll try to squeeze in a little bit. Tomorrow we're going to do Parsha, maybe we'll try to squeeze in a little Ha'olam also. And essentially, it seems we have basically one more week. So we want to try to get in unions and strikes and dismissals. A lot of stuff to try to squeeze in over the next few days. So hopefully we'll be able to move quickly. All right, I wish everyone a wonderful night. Should be only good things. Moshe, good to see you.